The mighty God, even the Lord, have spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun until the going down thereof. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon the thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Father in heaven, we give your name the praise and the glory and honor, Lord God, on this day. For this is a day that the Lord hath made, a day that we shall rejoice and be glad. Lord God, we thank you just for another opportunity to come before your throne and to bow before your majesty. Lord God, there is none like you in heaven above, in earth beneath, or even under the earth. For you are God and God alone. And Father in heaven, we just honor you, Lord God, in your holy place. For Lord, you are worthy of all the praise, worthy of all of the glory, and worthy of all of the honor. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for redeeming our souls from death, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that he might lay down his life for us. And for this, we give all of the praise to the Lamb which was slain before the foundations of the world. Lord God, as we come before you on today, we say, have your way, Lord. Have your way in our minds. Have your way in our soul. Have your way in our spirit. We pray and ask of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would hear our cry on today and meet the needs of every one of your people. Heal those that need healing. Deliver those that need to be delivered. Make a way for those, oh Lord God, who are destitute. Work out miracles, Lord God, for those who need a miracle right now. We ask of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would move in a mighty way, Lord God, over all of the earth, Lord God. For you have all power in your hand. For power belongs to you. Lord God, heal the sick. Raise the dead. Open the eyes of the blind. Cause, Lord God, the deaf to hear. Oh, Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would call forth those, Lord God, who are out in darkness, Lord God, into your marvelous light. We pray and ask of you, Lord, that you would take control, bind the devil on every hand, and curse the root of evil in our land, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, as we come before you, Lord God, that you would just prove yourself to be God, as you have done in times past. And Lord, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in Jesus' name, oh God, as we come before you in the word, that you would speak to our hearts and speak to our mind in Jesus' name. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy of all of the praise. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody, and as we say, everybody ought to praise the Lord. Amen. Certainly, we just thank God for another opportunity just to come before Him. Amen. Truly, He's been so good to us. Amen. Whereof we should all be glad. Amen. We can look around and see, amen, a whole lot that's wrong with the world. But when we consider God our Savior, I believe we would all come to the same conclusion that I find no fault in Him. Glory to God. I greet you in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our lesson will be found in the book of Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, where it records the message that was sent to the church which was at Ephesus. This was a backslidden church, and to backslide means to lapse morally or in the practice of religion, to revert back to a worse condition, or a simple explanation is to move away from the place where you once were. Out of all the churches addressed in Revelation, the message to Ephesus tend to resonate with the modern day church more so than any other. Because if you have ever fallen from grace, if you have ever strayed, or if you have ever reverted back to the things that God once delivered you from, when you read the letter written to Ephesus, it immediately strikes a chord. There's a scripture that reads in the book of Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We are all humans who are capable of wandering off the straight path. But yet and still, God will make an appeal for his sons and his daughters to return. Just as he did time and time again in the book of Jeremiah, where he pleaded with Israel, saying, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal you of your backslidings." The Lord is so gracious that he sets before us an open door to return and get back on track. When it comes to humankind, we have the propensity to waver. The scripture reads in Psalm 103, verse 14, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Psalm 14, 2 and 3 reads, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Some of us might consider ourselves to be good and righteous people, but all of our righteousness is as filthy rags when we compare ourselves to God, and we can never measure up to his righteousness. We are flawed beings. Therefore, it is necessary every day to examine ourselves to see if we are still in the center of his will, or have we moved and refused to acknowledge that we are not in the place where we used to be. In the scripture text, it was brought to the attention of Ephesus that they had fallen. And just to give some biblical references, Ephesus' connection with Christianity is seen in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28, in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. The first seeds of Christian truth
were possibly sown immediately after the day of Pentecost. And it was a place where the Apostle Paul remained for more than 2 years. The church that was planted by the apostle was afterwards watered and governed by John, who had his residence there. At a later period, Timothy was set over the disciples, as learned from the two letters or the two epistles addressed to him. He continued according to the old traditions to act as bishop of Ephesus, and he died a martyr's death under Domitian or Nero. So Ephesus did have a good beginning and a history that was rich, but at some point they did not continue to uphold the sanctity of its Christian faith. Beginning at Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, it reads, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." In verses 2 and 3, a commendation is given to the church, and it reads, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted." Here the Lord commends the church ministers and members for their diligence and duty. His servants had labored for his name's sake and had not fainted, and their labors were not in vain or left unnoticed. Ephesus met difficulties with great patience, and they were not deceived, but recognized those who pretended to be apostles, but were found to be liars. Although the Lord Jesus observed what was good, he also observed what was amiss and rebuked the evil that he saw. Verse 4 reads, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." This was the complaint that Christ makes against the church. And as the late Clarence Larkin pointed out in his exposition, its character is seen in its very name. For Ephesus means to let go or to relax. It had become a backslidden church. The zeal or fervor was not the same as it was at first. Likewise, in this modern day, it seems that many saints are in a place of complacency. They have become self-satisfied with being withdrawn from the things which are designed to keep us spiritually fortified, such as fasting, praying, and reading the word. They are relaxed and unconcerned about the escalating satanic activity in the world, and instead of engaging in spiritual warfare against the works of the devil, they are lax, and some to the degree of giving the enemy a foothold in their lives. When you think about the effects of complacency, it pushes an individual farther away from God. The passion that you once had in serving God diminishes. The love that you once had for the things of God diminishes until you find yourselves halted between two opinions with one foot in God and the other in the world. This is a precarious position to be in, because should the Lord return at that very hour, or should he withdraw his breath from you at that very hour, you have to think about where will your soul spend eternity. And I can say assuredly that there is no such thing as a soul being suspended between two places. You will either go all the way to heaven or be cast into hell. Ephesus had left their first love, what was once the object of their desire was no longer, that. It isn't to say that they had wholly forsaken it, but their first affection for Christ, for holiness, and the unadulterated gospel began to wane. Spiritually, they had declined, and the fire they once had began to cool. Instead of being at the ready, Ephesus was relaxed and at ease. One life application that we learn from this is that it is not how you start, but how you finish. Many professing Christians started off strong but could not go the distance. Somewhere in the middle of the race, they gave up the will to fight or push through adversity. Today, some people are falling away from the spiritual aspect of ministry and have turned to, other things such as men's logic or philosophical views. They have diverted their attention away from the only one who is worthy to receive our full and undivided attention. It does not matter how many accolades or degrees you acquire in this life. It doesn't matter how educated you are or what your status is in terms of success. The only thing that matters at the end of this journey is, did you finish what you started? Did you endure until the end? Did you hold on to the unadulterated word of truth? Or did you embrace the doctrine of devils or give in to seducing spirits? As Solomon said, the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Jesus said, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Consider with me that everybody that claim to be a Christian is not running for their life. Some are running, but they are chasing the wrong things. They're chasing fame and a name. They're chasing money and worldly gain, but not chasing the heart of God. Some may have started this race with the right intentions, but then went off track. But I'm here to let you know that while time is still on your side, you can get back on track and run that you may obtain eternal life. Press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you see yourself today as the church that was at Ephesus, the same remedy that Jesus offered them is the same remedy that he gives to you. Verse 5 reads, remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Here the Lord gives counsel to Ephesus. Those that have lost their first love must remember from whence they have fallen. They must compare their present with their former state and consider how much better it was with them then than now. In doing so, it would cause them to consider all that was lost as a result of them leaving their first love. Jesus compels them to repent and do their first works, which means they must return and begin again. Falling from grace is not out of the ordinary, but the worst decision is to choose to remain in a falling state and not take advantage of God's recovery plan. If you have fallen, there is an opportunity for you to get back up again, but it's up to you to take it. In the latter part of verse 4, we hear the counsel given to Ephesus, enforced and urged by a severe threatening. If they neglected to give heed to his counsel, the Lord said, I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. In other words, he will come suddenly in the way of judgment and unchurch them. So if the light of Christ be removed, then how can that church stand? If they are preaching another gospel, how can it stand? If they will not confess their sins and repent, how can that church stand? The short answer is, they will not stand because the Lord will remove them. So having said all of this, in conclusion, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but there is hope for all who will hear the Lord's voice and amend their ways. In verse 7 is a call to attention, which is one of the staples in every letter that was written, and a promise of great mercy to those who overcome. The scripture reads, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The Christian life is not always easy. It is warfare from beginning to end. We war against sin, against Satan, the world, and the flesh. But we must fight the good fight of faith and never yield to our spiritual enemies. We must finish our course. No such thing as a true soldier or a true saint giving up somewhere in the middle. As the song says, we must finish our course. Why? Because we've got to make 100. 99 and a half won't do. If we started strong, we must keep the mindset of finishing just as strong. And if you keep this mindset, then you can echo the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not for me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So I say to the spiritual Ephesus that the Lord is speaking to on today, you may have gotten worn and weary along the way. You may have taken down your guard. But it's now time to remember from whence you have fallen and come on back to Jesus. Because while it is said today, you still have an opportunity to get back on track and begin again and do your first works over. And if you be not weary in well doing, you shall reap if you faint not. Amen. And God bless the word on today. Amen.